Hey everyone, welcome to
Behind the Scenes from News from the Queue.
We are here at Busch Gardens Williamsburg to bring you behind the scenes of Verbolten Forbidden Turn.
Boom. All right. We are back, baby. We are back home after our excursion out to Busch Gardens this week.
Yep.
For our fun behind the scenes experience at Verbolten. Oh, hold on, you gotta say something, Eddie.
I gotta say, oh, that's right, because it won't get to
it me. Won't show you.
I was like, I gotta say something. What I gotta say? With the Verbolten. Oh, look, I think this pen, by the way, is like the coolest little pen. I don't know if you like yours as much as I like mine, but like,
oh,
with
the
doors open,
the car doors open, and everything. Like, I literally put it on a shelf.
And the fact that it has like the pull back and everything.
Uh-huh.
I love this little thing. Yeah, actually, because of where we went, now I actually have three, but I love these little guys.
Yeah, I've got two. I'm giving one away.
Let's go.
Right?
That's the one that I collected for you, Senor.
Yes, that is the one you got for me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But yeah, Verbolten Hard Hat Tour.
Yeah.
Happened. And I gotta say, I was extremely excited, right? Mm. And then we caught wind of some stuff right before, which got me a little bit concerned. But once we got there, everything hit. I really liked what we saw. We didn't see everything that we necessarily wanted to see, but we saw a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you want to tackle this. I have a tendency to get ahead of myself.
I'm good with it, but before we get into it, I do want to say, you know, one of the things people always ask, like, I get these comments on TikTok and Instagram, like, how do you get into these things? So just to kind of rewind, Busch Gardens invited some content creators and members of the news media. So like the local news stations, the local affiliates for CBS, ABC, et cetera, out to the park this past week to do a construction tour, a hard hat tour of Verbolten Forbidden Turn, see the current state of the construction, as well as to sample some of the new dishes and drinks coming to this year's Food and Wine. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But yeah, Eddie and I were invited. Thank you so much to Busch Gardens for having us out, because obviously we're psyched for the ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, so one of the things that I'll say, and I'll turn it over to you because I want to hear your thoughts, is they're doing a lot of construction off-site or elsewhere in the park or behind or, you know, off or, you know, like backstage. So, like, you know, they confirmed, you know, the rumors about animatronics. In fact, they confirmed that there are more animatronics in the ride than I even thought or in the queue. There's two animatronics in the queue plus additional in the ride. So they confirmed that and all that stuff. And, you know, the giant tree structure has been confirmed, all of that. None of that we saw because it is being built off site and brought in at the last minute. So that's one thing that we didn't see, but we did see some.
I thought we were going to see the tree. I thought that was going to be the grand reveal, and I was like psyched to see that thing.
Yeah.
That being said, even not having seen it, I'm excited for the trajectory of this ride. Like you said, there was a lot more animatronics than we expected. Should we tackle the queue first and then inside of the building? Or all right.
Well, so, you know, we saw a lot, we didn't see a lot, and I will say Busch Gardens has a history of that. Of holding the reveal. Like, we went on a behind the scenes early access tour to the Loch Ness Monster when they did the revamp there,
the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah, but the Loch Ness Monster, we rode it the day before they opened it to the public.
Yeah.
And the giant Loch Ness Monster creature was not there.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that thing was coming, and then like the day of the grand opening they plopped that thing in overnight. So, you know, they are really trying to hold some of the secrets as much as they can up until the actual, you know, reveal.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, for Loch Ness, not that this video is about Loch Ness, but for Loch Ness, the Hard Hat Tour is more about the queue than it was the construction of the actual
ride. Go anywhere on the ride it was just the queue.
Yeah, it was just the queue. But yeah, to that point, we've actually been able to have these opportunities to do these almost every year now, once at least.
Yeah.
And thank you to Busch Gardens, and thank you to you guys, because you guys give us the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah, we're only invited because you guys watch our videos and watch videos like this.
Exactly. So drop your feedback. We've talked about some other stuff in some other videos that potentially, you know, we could make content for. And we're listening. So if you guys have an idea, let us know down in the comments. We'll make sure to check it out. We're responding, we're commenting back with you guys, and we're looking at future episodes that we could potentially make off of the comments that you guys make. Thank you so much. Make sure to check us out also on all podcast platforms or either one of our YouTube channels. And then subscribe to either one of us as well, or both of us.
Yeah, both of us, not either, both.
Yeah,
subscribe to both, watch both. Literally, just put the videos on in the background. Like, just watch. But yeah, no, you know, so Eddie is Eddietainment one on social media, Eddietainment on YouTube. I am Destination Geek. You can get to all of my stuff from destination-geek.com. But yeah, we only are able to go to these things because you all really support videos like this. Even though no one commented on our last episode that they wanted to hear my idea about Universal Islands of Adventure, my heart's broken about that one, but that's okay. We know you guys are here for the Busch Gardens content, and we love talking about it. I mean, it is our home park, you know, and we truly enjoy it. And it's for things like this hard hat tour, you know, which leads into the queue. You know, we got a tour of the queue. I think the gentleman's name was Richard Smith.
I forget his last name, but his first name was definitely, he went by Rich.
Rich, so yeah, but his last name was definitely Smith.
Okay, so boom.
And so he's with Guernsey Tingle, was the company he was with, which was, I guess, doing a lot of the, you know, a lot of the creative design and work on the ride. And one of my favorite parts, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but then we'll hop back.
No, you're good.
Is that he gave us a tour of the queue. Talked about the story, which we'll talk about here in a second. And then at the end of it, he's like, we insert the Easter eggs at the end.
Yeah.
You know, after everything else is done. And he was asking us for ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I got to say something. That way, if I see it in the ride, I know that it's because we said something about it.
You know, and I kind of froze up in that moment because, like we've talked in some other episodes, I don't do enough research to have captured enough of the stuff before.
Yeah.
So I was like sitting there, and then people were giving ideas of Easter eggs, and I was like, ooh, that sounds cool. Ooh, that sounds cool. Oh, I didn't even think about that. You know, and I just filmed it. I didn't have the opportunity to give them feedback. One of the things that I loved about Rich was his tour, his passion behind what he had done was more than obvious.
Oh,
I loved the walkthrough of the queue. And that was one of the things I said in my video. I was like, I hope the audio is being captured because I didn't get the opportunity to be right up with him. And obviously our directional mics sometimes fail from a distance.
Yeah.
I got enough of it, which I was pleased with, but he was walking us through that story. He brought us from, and it was funny because when we first got handed off to him, we were a ways away from the queue. He starts talking and doesn't even cue that he's going to turn around and start walking away towards the queue. But he turns around, starts walking towards the queue. Everybody starts following him. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But the first, he talked about, and maybe you remember this a little bit better. You were actually much more up close with him, so you probably was
more hearing it better too. I just kind of forced my way up to the front.
I know. In the beginning, when he started right in front of the entrance of the queue, I remember when we got to the first animatronic, but there did he like cue in anything about the storyline that was special before entering the queue?
So you know, so that's a good segue. And so basically, you know, the story of the current for Bolton is that they're Goethe and Gunther Schwarzwald, our brother and sister, maybe having an inappropriate relationship type thing. I'm not making that up. Look it up. There's like this weird thing going on between them. Like there's like an Easter egg that they have a son. But anyway, that's
some weird stuff. Yes.
Yeah. So Goethe and Gunther Schwarzwald have gone missing in the Black Forest. And now Frau Hexel has taken over the travel agency, and now it's a rental car. agency, just to clarify.
I messed up that name so many times in my video.
Frau Hexel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Frau Hexel may be a witch. Maybe, you know, like the rumors are that Frau Hexel is a witch, but she has a magical motor car tour. And, you know, and it is through the forest, but don't turn right is basically the story of the ride. You know, that's the forbidden turn. Stay to the left. Don't turn right into the Black Forest. Obviously, what happens as the
go ahead. Didn't he mention that she had an old tour that was a failed tour? This is a new tour.
He did mention that there was some type of old failed tour that he didn't go into. So, but that's probably an Easter egg. We'll see some. So, you know, he did mention that Frau Hexel had previously had some type of tour that ended in tragedy. Keep an eye out for maybe some of the Easter eggs about that storyline.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably where we end up when we go right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happens in the story of the ride is that there is a fake track. I mean, that's not the story, but in reality, there's a fake track that has like a tree vine twisted around it and has pulled it out. So like basically as you hop on the ride, you'll leave the station and you'll see this tree root that has torn up the coaster that you're supposed to go on. And so you have to turn right into the Black Forest. So really looking forward to seeing that. If there's a billboard, you know, Black Forest billboard, you can actually see it. It's the same billboard that's in the commercial for the ride. And so this vine has twisted up this track so that you've got a fake track element and you go right into the Black Forest. But Frau Hexel runs this agency. She's definitely got magic to her because she has a sidekick named Broom, who is literally a living broom.
Yeah.
And both Frau Hexel and Broom are animatronics that are featured in the queue. And that's something that I learned on the tour is
I had no idea about Broom.
Yeah. No, neither did I. And so like, you know, if you've been on Verbolten, the first room, you know, there's like a desk there. And that's where the Frau Hexel animatronic will be. And then if you're familiar with the queue, you go outside for a little bit. And then there's a second smaller room that used to have video monitors, which had like little like live footage of the Black Forest. And if you got lucky, you saw like a guy being dragged through the forest or, you know, some creepiness. That's all been gutted, that second room. And now it's going to be Broom's closet where the animatronic of Broom will be. And that's awesome.
Another cool thing about it was, you know, I've been doing the construction updates along the way, and I've been looking at the ride queue.
Yeah.
And right in front of our face, there was a lot going on because that Broom room has been completely gutted. We just couldn't see it, right? We were doing the videos, always checking everything out from all these different angles, but there was a lot going on in that room. Broom is definitely one that I'm excited to see in person, because I think he's going to be kind of like funny in a way.
He speaks Broom language, so you're not really going to understand what he says. But you were right in your video, Eddie, in your speculation that you had filmed the inside of the loading station, right? And you had said that there's like an area that has like three holes in it.
You said you believe
that they were going to be screens. That was confirmed, though. So they will have screens in the ride that will feature Frau Hexel, or in the queue, that have Frau Hexel and Broom kind of interacting from up there. And the loading station itself, he said it will largely be the same. There'll be some additions to like make it specific to Frau Hexel's rental car agency, but they really like the current look and feel of the queue station. So a lot of, or the ride station. So a lot of that will remain the same. And that's what he said. You know, as far as the audio, cause that's one thing people always ask about, will it still say Avita Zane? Will it, you know, still say, don't look back as you brave the Black Forest? No 100% confirmations. I think they're still working on all that stuff, but he said that was one of the last things they'll do is, you know, kind of those things, but probably is basically what he said.
Yeah, but going back to the first Frau Hexel animatronic, I am excited to interact with that animatronic. Obviously, I don't think she's going to be responding to what we say, but she's going to be saying things, moving, and that's actually going to be the I think the fully articulating what's it called, animatronic, because there is another one which we'll get to, but I think he said that one's more limited in its movement.
Yeah, the one in the ride, right, is limited in movement. This one will be a full audio animatronic. Now, he did not say if it will be, I think you're right, I think it's probably pre-recorded audio. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, some rides have like someone behind the scenes, like recording the audio, like interacting with you. Yeah. I don't believe it's going to be that. I think she'll kind of explain the story of the ride, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But man, I mean, that's crazy. Like a ground level, audio animatronic in the queue of this ride. I mean, that is something that is a higher level than I've ever seen at Busch Gardens before. No, let me clarify. Old school Busch Gardens did have some animatronics in the queues, if you remember the Questor days. Probably before your time.
Yeah.
You were a young whippersnapper in the Questor days.
I was living in Florida too.
Yeah, there's that. But there was an animatronic in that queue. But generally, I don't recall there being any type of queue-based animatronic at Busch Gardens since then. And that was late 80s, maybe. This is huge.
Late 80s, geez.
Yeah, Questor was a lot of fun, though. Questor, for me growing up, you know, being a big lover of fantasy and films like Willow and Star Wars and stuff like that, Questor really was.
You were a young whippersnapper then.
Oh yeah, I was. Yeah, I mean, let's see when Questor opened at Busch Gardens, because I'm curious now to see. It opened in 1990, so. So yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and so, sorry, I got off track. But anyway,
you're good.
Animatronic in the queue, Frau Hexel, who's taking over the ride, this witch, and go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah. So I will say this. So I'm excited for everything coming to the queue, and I'll ask you the same thing, and let us know down in the comments too if from what you've heard, from what you've seen in our videos. You know, do you love what you're seeing? Is there something that you would have liked? The one thing that I think would have like put a bow on the queue experience, okay, is if they would have completely made it indoor, right? Like close it up, make it an indoor queue so that when you're walking through, it's completely like shut out from the outside, but it's also air conditioned.
Yeah.
I think that would be like the cherry on top for the queue experience. That being said, I do think,
because there's not much of the queue, because like basically there's the first pathway. I'm okay with that being outdoors, but like once you enter the building, you know, it would be ideal if they had some type of covered structure in between the buildings. To your point, especially in the heat to keep it covered or, you know, air conditioned. I'm surprised they didn't lean into that, but they haven't. Busch Gardens doesn't have indoor queues.
Yeah, outside of Dark Coaster.
Outside of Dark Coaster, because I'm thinking about Big Bad Wolf didn't. Loch Ness Monster is a mix, but you know it's about the same as this, right? Like there's a covered area and a non-covered area. So yeah, I guess they don't really lean into those indoor queues.
Yeah, and my thought process isn't just about making the indoor queue for the AC portion. Obviously, that's great, but like, there could be like that build-up feel as you're walking through with audio and all that stuff that's uninterrupted from the ambient sound around the park.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been the cherry on the top. That being said, I'm super impressed with what is coming. The animatronics, two animatronics, which is something that we weren't expecting, are going to be in the queue. I don't think there was anywhere that talked about that broom room, right?
What do
like
you mean?
As far as like the like leaked information?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, maybe I missed it, but I did not see that whole broom thing leaked at all anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. And I didn't do a deep dive into the information, but we definitely knew that there was a high likelihood that where Frau Hexel is going to be, there was something coming. We had that inkling from the information that had been out there. We didn't know the level of animatronic that it was going to be, or maybe we did. I'm not too sure, but it sounds like it's going to be a very impressive animatronic sitting in an area which I think is going to be perfect, because if the animatronic ever like does fail, it's going to be easy to like, you know, just put up a little blind or whatever. But I'm super excited for the queue. Rich did an amazing job, but that wasn't all we saw, right?
Yeah,
we saw.
Yeah, no,
we that saw was a bit more.
Yeah, kudos to Richard Smith and Guernsey Tingle for an excellent tour. Like, I think everyone left that tour super excited. And I was talking to Eddie after the fact, and I'm like, you know what's interesting is how darn excited we all left that tour, considering we didn't actually see anything, right? Now, this is not a complaint, right? This literally yeah. goes to the power of a good tour and a good storyteller and the excitement we have behind this ride, because ultimately, we didn't actually see any animatronics. We didn't see any completed aspects to the ride in the queue. Correct. Correct. but the queue, we basically just saw construction walls and what was already there. And, you know, that was interesting to me. But like, to Eddie's point, the other part of the tour included a lights on tour inside the show building for Verholten, yeah. where we did not see the giant tree that we know is coming, but we did see four of the giant branches that wrap that, you know, when you're riding the coaster, you'll ride through and around these branches. Apparently there will be 14 of them. You know, and some of them will have like lightning effects. And so basically once you go into the show building, you'll ride around this tree, you'll ride through its branches, and then the tree will basically capture you. And there's a Frau Hexel animatronic that will wave her broom and lightning will strike down and the tree will release you at the end. And that's the drop.
Yeah.
And then you'll escape the Black Forest. And so, you know, we did see from afar, we did see the Frau Hexel animatronic in the ride. We also received confirmation that even though like currently on Verbolten, well, there's nothing happening currently, but previously on Verbolten, there were three different story paths as you reach the drop track, basically just different lighting effects and different sound effects. Now there will just be the one. It'll just be the Frau Hexel, you know, element or story element at the end of the ride. But, you know, one, I've never seen Verbolten with full-on lights on. You know, and so, I mean, I've seen it lit up enough that I could tell some of the stuff, but well, I did not realize, one, that the building is so small.
Yes, dude, that was one of the things that caught me off guard when we went inside. I was like, I felt like there was so much more track in here having ridden the ride.
Yeah, there is a lot of track. There's a lot of track in that building. It's just they're just really efficient about the space, which I'll get to in here in a minute, which makes me wonder, like, why Dark Coaster couldn't be more elaborate, because the space is, maybe it's a smaller ceiling, but Dark Coaster kind of doesn't feel like a smaller space. So why can't that be as elaborate as this?
You're right. Dark Coaster, and we've seen the inside of the Dark Coaster building, but I do think there is like a height limitation there comparatively.
Yeah. I do think it's a lower ceiling, but anyway, yeah, we got to see the inside of the Verbolten show building with the lights on. We got to see some of the tree structure and we got to see the animatronic element, and it was awesome. It was, you know, I mean, it was very, very cool seeing inside that building.
Listening to you talk about it, this is a perfect example of what I've said before. You're like really good at like focusing on like the details. I'm more like, you know, like a chicken with his head off going in there and like, because I just learned things listening to you talk about it. I had no idea that it was only going to be one story. Had no idea that it was 14 limbs, and I was standing right next to you too. I was just like so like, in the moment, like looking around, I didn't listen. And I always found myself in the back of the group. So I couldn't even listen very well if I wanted to. So I'm learning a couple things, but we saw the animatronic, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
That one is going to be a little bit more limited. But one of the things that I did hear her say was, and I don't recall her name, but she did give some pretty good backstory and was really helpful. In the moment, you could just go up to her and like ask questions. That Frau Hexa was not so much like an evil witch. She actually was part of the reason why you're saved, right?
Yeah.
She helps get you out of there. So she's almost the like superhero of the ride, you could say. So, but I'm excited to see how, you know, even with her limited movements, what she's going to do, because she obviously has to do something. And I'm going to put something in the ether. Okay. This was a vibe that I got. And it's interesting that you brought up Dark Coaster, because I looked at the tree limbs and I thought Dark Coaster.
Oh, with the lighting? Yeah.
Yes. I had thought of it, and I kind of, it was just like a passing thought. And then somebody commented on my video and said the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting to me, now, I don't want to hate on Dark Coaster, but I wish Dark Coaster has such potential. I think one of the issues I have with Dark Coaster is the ride vehicle. I really don't like the ride vehicles on Dark Coaster. And I think it could use more theming inside to really be effective for what it is. But anyway, but what I was going to say is interesting is that Busch Gardens' three most themed rides are all in the same area. Between Dark Coaster, Verbolten, and Big Bad Wolf, those are, like, if you think about the rest of the park, other than Loch Ness Monster, everything else is just kind of generic roller coaster. Like it may have a story, but like Pantheon, Alpengeist, Apollo's Chariot, like once you get on the coaster, it's just generic coaster. But these three rides, all in the Oktoberfest area of the park, incorporate scenic elements as part of the roller coaster and part of the queue. So it's like Oktoberfest is always kind of has always been the best area of the park for me anyway.
They also have Fest House, their like biggest food establishment too, which
So it's just kind of, you know, I didn't even think about that. You just, that side of the park.
You just put that idea in my head. I didn't even notice that all like the major themed coasters sit in the Oktoberfest area. That's interesting.
It's also where they centralize a lot of the Holoscream stuff, right? Because of the space back there. So you used to have three houses, if not four, back there, because you had the one on the left side of Fest House, the one on the right side of Fest House. There's the one behind. Oh no, that's the same one. But there used to be one in the Dark Coaster building when it was,
yes.
So like they kind of centralized the right or the houses back there too. Like Oktoberfest is definitely like a central hub of activity for the park.
Yeah. I was going to say something about, Dark Coaster. I just want to say, I actually love Dark Coaster.
Do you really? Ride
it. Yeah, I love Dark Coaster. I never ride it because obviously the line is too crazy and they really only have one train operations, even though they're running two.
Yeah.
Just because
it uses the same track loops. Twice, basically.
Yeah, it loops twice. There's no way they could ever have two coasters out there at the same time. But I actually love Dark Coaster.
I want to. I wish for me some of the scenic elements that they got rid of in favor of, you know, lighting effects. Because there was a lot of stuff in that building that in my mind could have stayed without messing with the roller coaster element of it. And so I'm a little sad that they got rid of some of the scenic elements in favor of lighting and screens and stuff like that. But anyway, in the end, my main problem with Dark Coaster is that I don't like the ride vehicles, like, period. Maybe I'm just an old guy, but like I just find them uncomfortable. That's the only real complaint I have about Dark Coaster in the long run.
Yeah, for being like a jet ski style vehicle, if you get yourself in that position, it's not the most comfortable. So I don't ever really find myself doing that.
Yeah, I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I lean forward. Do I sit back? Like, what am I doing here? You know, like, I'm just old. when you hit 40, Eddie, you'll like Dark Coaster less.
did you get the, I'm almost there, but did you get the Dark Coaster vibe looking at the branches?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't until you said it. Now that you say it, I get that.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with it because it's still a physical element, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's still the branches, and I'm dying. I am dying to see what the tree looks like.
Yeah. I'm dying to see what the tree looks like and also hear what the audio is going to be like in there.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, I'm picturing, well, I guess not picturing the audio, I'm picturing it in my ears, that it's going to be Frau Hexo, like, talking, you know, and then having, like, wind and, like, whatever type of, like, you know, type of sound element as things are going on in there. And then she saves you and you have, like, the lightning strikes and all that stuff. That's going to be, like, awesome. But you're right. The tree is going to be the one that steals the show. Once that thing goes up, it's going to be, like, the Loch Ness statue at the end of Loch Ness. But I have a feeling this tree may or may not have some animatronic element to it, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the rumor, right? I'm curious. I mean, I will say, you know, when you look at it, it feels like there's no way they're going to be done by what we believed to be the opening day, Memorial Day weekend. But they're doing so much of it off-site. Like, right now, they're literally just kind of preparing everything to insert everything that they're building off-site. So I just don't know. Like, they did not give us a dedicated, a specific, you know, opening date. They probably, but other than spring 2026, which spring goes until June 21st, right?
Yes, I've commented that, like, on multiple different platforms, on, like, my TikTok and stuff, and it is the most triggering thing for the audience. They all come back and they say, that's summer. And I'm like, I know that that's the feel, but that's not the truth, right? The truth is end of June is end of spring, right? Yeah. Beginning of summer. So they could open it the weekend of June 13th, and technically that's spring.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I've been back and forth with, is it possible for them to have it open by the end of May or not? Breaking it down, I've worked in construction when I was young with my stepdad and whatnot. The queue, they could have that done within the next week. There's nothing within the queue that's super, super hard outside of positioning the animatronics and testing them, right?
Yeah.
The track is already functional, right? There's nothing that they've done to change the track. So they could technically run the vehicles right now and start testing, right? Yeah. I can't assume. I'm assuming that because there wasn't much done to the track and this is all elements that are being added to the ride itself, there won't need to be an extensive amount of testing the ride vehicles, right?
I think there probably will be. They've got to test them in the elements that they inserted to make sure that it doesn't,
like, hit and whatnot.
Hit anything so, that you can't actually reach out and grab and, you know, hit a branch or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure some of that stuff has to happen. But I don't know if you saw this, but when Loch Ness was being done, I did some construction update videos for that. And they actually had to have somebody run the whole entire track with a stencil for tolerances. And, like, this person is just, like, hooking and moving. Up and down the hills and whatnot. And they had like a circular stencil that went around the track. I'm assuming things like that won't have to happen for Verbolten. So taking that into consideration and how far along the stuff that's being built off site is, I think end of May is definitely possible. But I know everybody's like, oh, I don't think it's possible.
I would like it. You know,
yeah,
I don't want it to go into June, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes into June and ends up happening on June 13th, more than likely it's because it's my birthday and Busch Gardens wants to celebrate it with me.
That seems likely.
Yeah, you know, just like the Geektainment booth that will be coming to the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, you know, so we actually got to sample some food and wine stuff.
Yes, we did.
So we got to sample a couple of dishes. So we got to sample the mofongo from Puerto Rico, the bourbon, dark chocolate bourbon balls, I think, from the whiskey booth or the scotch booth or whatever. They had a Caesar salad. I didn't sample that, but you might have. The coquito, as well as a strawberry basil shrub mocktail. So we got to sample some early food and wine dishes. So, I mean, what'd you think of them?
I thought they were good, right? And I'm trying to remove my bias because I was just at Puerto Rico recently and I had mofongo and it was spectacular. This mofongo is not going to be comparable to what you'll be able to find in Puerto Rico.
No.
But they're making it for the masses, right? They're having to produce a whole ton of it. It was great quality for like the actual like plantain mash. It was good. Yeah. I like the consistency. I like the flavor of it. The chicharrón that was on top of it was, I'm used to in mofongo, the chicharrón being like a meatier, fatty chicharrón. I don't know if you've had those chicharrones before. So like there's the ones that you could get in a store that are like the dry, crispy ones. And then there's the ones that you could get like in a restaurant that are like fresh cooked that will have the like dry crispy portion attached to like a nice fatty like piece. And that's typically what you would see on top of mofongo, but this one has more of like the crispy ones. I liked it though. The coquito was really refreshing and a little bit more mild than I expect.
I think it's because it's during the summer, right? Because I was thinking about that. Like coquito is usually in my family history more of like a winter drink, right? Like we have it during the holidays, kind of like, you know, folks do eggnog, like we do coquito instead. Coquito, maybe you know this better.
I haven't had coquito a whole bunch, but it typically has like a rice pudding type of taste to it, right?
It can, like a
little bit more of that like cinnamony punch to it, like that
This coquito was definitely watered down, I think. But you know, they're serving it during the summer, and I'm not sure that like a milky drink, you know, during the summer is so. I think, you know, it's definitely more of a, to your point, it's done more in a refreshing format than it is the coquito that I'm more used to, which is a lot creamier, a little, you know, and thicker.
Do you remember what that other drink was called that you?
Strawberry basil smash or shrub, something like that.
I think it was shrub. Yeah. You didn't try that one, right? Because of the
balsamic. I did. You know, what's funny, you know, because it has balsamic vinegar, strawberries, basil. Like none of the ingredients I really care for, but the drink itself was actually pretty solid.
None of the ingredients was I aware of up to you told me. I was like, this has balsamic? I was like, no, you must have read the Caesar salad. And
that
you
also has balsamic.
You showed me and I was like, what the heck? Balsamic in a drink? But I will say that was probably my favorite item out of everything we tried. It was super good, super refreshing, had nice chunks of strawberry in it. Like it was a really good drink. What else did we try? The Caesar salad. Oh, and the bourbon balls were delicious.
The bourbon balls were great.
So I was under the impression that the bourbon balls were like meatballs with what's it called? Like a bourbon whiskey barbecue sauce. But that's not what it is. It is very, very much the opposite. It's a dessert.
it's dark chocolate, but strong bourbon flavor. I will say they were delicious. Now, kind of to my point about the coquito, they felt like they'd be great in the winter. When it's 95 degrees outside, I don't know that I'm going to go for dark chocolate bourbon balls, but they were tasty.
Yeah, and the consistency of like the cake and everything was delicious. And we only got to try a few items. There's so many items coming this year to the Food and Wine Festival. So I think obviously Puerto Rico is the highlight. They've put it front and center in their marketing. So they gave us some of the Puerto Rican stuff, but even then, that's not everything that's coming to Puerto Rico. There's a couple other options that weren't available for us.
Yeah,
that
the Ropa Vieja was not something that we saw.
Hit us with the pro tip. Hit us with the pro tip. You threw a pro tip at me.
I feel like you know, because I was a little like, I didn't love the fact that it was basically pork rinds on top of the mofongo. But I'm like, if you order the Ropa Vieja and the mofongo at the same time, and then you put the meat from the Ropa Vieja on top of your mofongo, I think that's the move.
And that's definitely much more consistent with what you will find when you order mofongo. It's typically like a nice fresh meat on top of there. The mofongo that I had in Puerto Rico recently was mofongo de marisco, which is seafood on top of it. I know, Paul, you wouldn't eat that, but it I loved it. And it's, like I said, it's typically like a fresh meat that's on there, not like a crispy dried meat.
Yeah, agree.
Like the like the one that we had. So Paul's giving you guys the inside scoop, fresh from
that would be my recommendation.
And I think he's right. I think 100% that's going to be the win. We could call that the Geektainment,
the Geektainment
item of the event.
Yeah, item of a food and wine festival.
Dude, what if we got that rolling and everybody like commented and like actually tried this?
Yeah, you know what? That's the move for all you folks that are on TikTok and social media. Do the news from the queue challenge. Get the ropa vieja, get the mofongo. Do a hashtag news from the queue challenge. Let's make it a thing.
That would be sick. That would be sick. But yeah, no, I'm excited for.
I mean, if it's good, it's gonna suck if it's not.
Worst item of the event. The news from the queue challenge. Nah, I have a hard time believing that'll be the case. It sounds perfect. It sounds perfect. But what else? What else do we got? The
Food and Wine Festival. I think so. Food and Wine Festival kicks off. It's actually, as of this recording, Food and Wine Festival kicks off this Friday, April 23rd. It runs Thursdays through Sundays. This Thursday, April 23rd, runs Thursdays through Sundays, plus Memorial Day, April 23rd through June 21st. So we'll be there. I'll be going opening weekend. I'm sure you'll be there too at some point.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for us and let us know what you think of the podcast. And I think that's it for this episode,
yep.
Mr. Tainman.
I'll leave with one little thing. So I told you that I got the comment about the Dark Coaster comparison, but the number one comment that I got on the video or TikToks or anything is, why didn't their theme Pantheon?
We talked about it on our previous episode. Listen to our last episode. It's not worth their time.
Did you get the same comment?
Yeah. I always get that. Like, oh, Pantheon has no theming. It doesn't need... I mean... Would it be nice? Yeah, but like,
yeah,
that's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you for watching. Make sure to give us a thumbs up on this video. It really helps us out. Leave us a comment down below. We really value your feedback. And if you look at our prior episodes, we comment back on everything. So definitely leave us some feedback. Let us know what you want us to talk about for future episodes. Hit the subscribe button on both of our channels, Eddietainment and Destination Geek. And Eddie, I think we'll see you guys in the next one.
In the dark forest, or the black forest.
In the black forest.